Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 19th of August. We're doing our open line for August, this first hour of the program today, and our lines are completely open for you with suggestions you may have for future programs. We certainly have listened to you and scheduled a lot of the programs that you've suggested in the past few months, so your calls are not in vain. We indeed listen and schedule some of our shows based on your recommendations. Here's our phone number. The lines are open right now, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 is the number for you to call with your suggestions. We also have an email address that you can use, and that's talk@wpr.org. We'll keep track of those during the course of this hour, and we'll also give you the addresses, our email addresses that you can use for suggestions for programs in case you can't get through today, or if you come up with a splendid idea sometime other than our open line, which of course is entirely possible. And those addresses are, mine is dunnk@wpr.org, and Rhonda Fanning is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, also at wpr.org. Next hour of the program, we'll be looking at how we pay teachers. Most public school teachers are paid based on the number of years worked in the profession and the level of education that they have. Should we take other things into account as the legislature looks at the possibility of including student test scores, graduation rates, other measures of student achievement? We will be talking about that with Jim Carlson, who helped pass a new pay system in Manitowoc. We'll talk to him about that. And also State Senator Alberta Darling is working on a proposal to give extra money to systems that create pay systems for teachers based on student performance. And of course, the question is, how do you decide what that would be, student performance? So that's what's going on. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say is as you know, we're heavy into this healthcare reform discussion. We've been talking about it for weeks and weeks now. We are having a special healthcare forum that will be entirely civil and incredibly informative. It will be at Frederick Hospital, which is based here in Milwaukee, and it's on September 16. We'll broadcast 2 hours of our program from the new Cancer Center at Frederick. And if you would like to make reservations, it's not a huge space, so we're making reservations for this. It's free, of course, but you have to let us know that you're coming so we can get the spaces filled. And the person you should call for that is Katie Madsen. Katie Madsen at 414-227-2047. 414-227-2047. Okay? So let's hop to our phone calls. 800-486-8655 is the number. And we start with Stephen from Madison this morning. Hi, Stephen.
Good morning. The president was in Colorado a couple days ago speaking in front of the VFW, telling them that we have to fight the Taliban over in Afghanistan or else they're going to come over here and harm us. And it's a matter of national security. I think we need a town hall debate on your show, Kathleen, to discuss just what kind of threat exists. How did this war start back to 9/11? You can either have an open line on the subject or else Professor David Ray Griffin has written 6 books on the subject. Again, you know my position. I believe the 9/11 was an inside job and a big hoax and a fraud. And to blame it on the Afghans is very unjust. So thank you so much for your work.
Okay, thanks for the call. Fred from Wisconsin Rapids, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to call in and suggest something like a lighter topic because I'm kind of OD'd on the health insurance issue. So what I'd like to hear is some of the Wisconsin authors like Justin Isherwood, who wrote several books. It's a very successful potato farmer and lawyer that lives in the Plover area. Somebody like Justin, Ben Logan, he's getting up there in years. I don't know if he's still capable of a telephone interview.
We had him on just about a month ago.
Well, I heard that. Yeah. But he was just briefly.
He's not. He has good days and bad days.
Yeah.
So, right.
And then the other, or somebody like Jerry Apps, APPS, that lives down in Wild Rose. So I'd just like to hear, you know, program with some of our Wisconsin writers that, you know, write about the country and the land and nature. So just something a little bit different than, you know, not saying that the health issue isn't important, but it's just, it's, you know, I'm kind of saturated.
All right, a change of pace, sure.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Thank you, Fred. Bye. Frank from Madison. Hey, Frank.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm afraid I have a heavy topic.
That's all right.
But I'll try and be brief. Two suggestions about climate change. In September, the Copenhagen Conference, which is the next response, you know, recasting of the Kyoto Treaty to deal with the adaptation to climate change, not studying it, but responding to it. The nations involved and the political response has been very tepid. There's no commitment to firm reduction of CO2 emissions on the part of any of the major nations. So I'd like to suggest a program on adaptation to climate change, focusing on the Copenhagen Conference.
Okay.
And the second is, although the political class is feckless and behind even the public, although I don't think there's a general realization of how big a change we have to bring about in the general public, is the military doesn't debate the existence of climate change. It's preparing for its consequences. And Canadian journalist resident in London called Gwyn Dyer has a series called Climate Wars, which is both a literal prediction and a metaphor. And it would be well worth talking to Gwyn Dyer or some members of the military establishment of the United States, because there's actually a position paper on the appropriate response to climate change and preparing for the military consequences of the disruptions.
Okay.
And so those two,
good.
And have a very good rest of the week.
Well, before you go, Glynn, G-L-I-N?
G-L-Y-N-E.
Oh, my gosh.
Dyer.
D-Y-E-R. D-Y-E-R. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Frank. You have
Bye.
A good week, too. Let's go next to Vern from Gilbert, Minnesota. Hi.
I'm Vern from Gilbert.
Gilbert. Hi, Vern.
I wanted to compliment you on the, to the best of our knowledge, program on Elizabeth Bishop. And, you know, we're beset by so many problems these days that we need a little relief from this. And I'm sure you have knowledgeable people at the University of Wisconsin in the history and English and social science departments to talk about poets and writers. And I'm thinking of 19th century writers like Thoreau and Emerson and Whitman and so on that almost foretold some of the things that have come to pass. So that's my suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you, Vern. Let's go to Roger from East Milwaukee. Hi, Roger.
Good morning. How are you today?
All right. How are you?
Not too bad. It's a beautiful day.
It is.
You have a great show. I love your open lines.
Thanks.
I've talked to you a couple times in the last year about this, and you seem to be very keyed up about it. So you asked me to send you emails, and I sent you some emails, but I still have never heard anything along the lines of, and as I stated, you being the Ideas Network and people who have a lot of good ideas, they need to know how to go about patenting, getting copyrights. And there are two very good firms here in Milwaukee. One has an excellent and a Midwest reputation. And, you know, with people working out of their house and you get all these barrage things on how to make extra money, well, there's a lot of people who don't go forward with their ideas because they think that the big corporations or whoever might steal it. So they say, you know, to do this, it becomes a little scary. And I have about 6 patents now because I just got one about a month ago. But it is scary. And in the beginning, I was petrified to wonder who was going to steal it. And so I thought you could have a couple attorneys on, patent attorneys, and they could kind of discuss how to pursue going online to the patent office, how to conduct searches, you know, how to really do some research, how to present something to a company so that you're not giving them really the idea, but you're giving them a flavor of something that could have a lot of potential without really saying what it is. And that's a pretty tricky art. And these guys are very good at it. I work with a firm called Andrew Starkey Saywall here in Milwaukee. And Gary Usman is one of their senior patent attorneys, and he's fabulous. And there's another one that gives a group every first Tuesday of the month out in Mequon at the library, or it's just in Athensville, but it's the public library there. And it's a seminar where they come in and they have five or six different people there. Three of them are attorneys. One's an accountant, you know, telling you how you need to keep track of your expenses and what qualifies and what doesn't. And I go to these all the time, and they're terrific. And if you could get some of these people on the air, I think a lot more people in these times where people look for new ideas, it would be a very good show. And okay. I think a lot of people would be interested in it.
Okay, Roger. Thanks so much for your call.
You have a great day.
You too. Scott from La Crosse. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Kathleen. I'm going to have to admit, I'm asking you to probably indulge me and a half dozen other people, but here it goes. I have right now out from the library a book called Marlowe's Ghost by an author named Daryl Pinkson, and it is by far the best case for the real authorship of the Shakespeare plays that I've ever read. And it's, like I say, it might not be of interest to a whole lot of people, but, you know, for those who care, they care passionately about who really wrote Shakespeare. And this makes the case for Christopher Marlowe in a way that is very well done. He's a guy from Canada, and as I say, I'm totally fascinated and am liking the book a lot. So if that'd be something that'd be of interest, if you Google his name, it's Pinkson. First name is Daryl, Daryl. You'll find out how to get hold of him. I don't have that right in front of me, but I do have the book.
And why do you care about it?
Why do I care about it?
Uh-huh.
Well, a few years back, they did a thing about the controversy over, you know, who really wrote Shakespeare, all the doubt there's always been about the man from Stratford. And this was making the case for Oxford, Duke of Oxford, or I don't remember. Anyhow, that he was a real author. So I got kind of interested in it and started looking around and read. And the premise basically is that nobody writes like Shakespeare except Marlowe, but Marlowe couldn't have written all the plays about Shakespeare because Marlowe dies in a barroom fight or a fight in a tavern right before Shakespeare suddenly comes on the scene and is publishing all these works. And Shakespeare has no literary background, leaves no literary record, doesn't even own a book when he dies. His will is very... But yet he has all these plays. How can this be? Well, so the argument is, what happens if Marlowe's death was faked for various reasons? And this guy Pinkson makes the case. And it, as I say, everybody in your audience is probably sound asleep right now. But for me, never mind the 9/11 conspiracy. Never mind JFK. This is my conspiracy. So anyhow, he writes well. I don't know anything about the man other than his book is really good. And if he's right, if he speaks as well as he writes, I think he'd give you an interesting hour.
Well, I think from your description here, more than six people are going to go and get the book. So
cool.
It was a good one.
Even if I only did that.
Yeah, you did well then this morning. Thanks, Scott. It does sound interesting.
Thank you so much, as always, Kathy.
Okay, bye, Scott. Let's go next to Crystal from Ashland. Hi, Crystal.
Hi, and good morning.
Hi.
I would love to suggest you do a topic on post-traumatic stress disorder and how more doctors need to be trained to look for the signs and symptoms of post-traumatic stress and all the treatment options for it, because I have spent almost 3 years trying to get diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. And it is very difficult for me to find anyone up in northern Wisconsin to even treat something like this.
Is it military related, Crystal?
Or what?
Is it military related? Were you in the military?
No, I was not.
Okay. Because I know that VA hospitals, certainly many of them treat that and treat it quite well. We've done shows on this, but it's always been military-related programs, so we take your suggestion, and thank you for it.
Thank you.
Let's go next to Matt from Liberty Pole. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Kathleen. I'd like to see a show on the recent influx of permit applications for factory dairy farms in Wisconsin. In the whole history of the time we've had this permitting system, I think there have only been 150 permits issued since the mid-80s for all sorts of types of farms, beef, dairy, so forth. And right now, I believe there's almost 45 pending just for dairy. And this is really going to change the face of Wisconsin dairying. It's a big threat to family farms. You know, at the same time, these places, these large factory farms are polluting our groundwater and destroying air quality and ruining the quality of life of their neighbors. It's increasing that milk supply even more, so that's driving out the family farms that have built Wisconsin. And a big element to this, I think, would be looking into the influence of the Dairy Business Association, which is a large, big ag lobbying group on the Department of Ag and the DNR. Recently, they signed a memorandum of understanding where it looks to me like they're basically dictating the terms of how this permitting system should look in the future and making it even easier for these large corporates and also large out-of-state, sometimes owned dairies to come into the state.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's a good issue for us, Matt. Thank you. Thanks very much for the call. Open line for August is what you're listening to right now. We're welcoming your suggestions at 800-486-8655. We've also had some emails, in case you're interested in some of those. Somebody wants something on the future of local transit. A show on medical tourism, that's a good idea. People going overseas for care. And the role of the French in the discovery of Wisconsin and attempting to put Social Security into the stock market. So those are other suggestions that are coming in. Keep the number in line. Our lines are busy right now, but you'll be able to get through eventually. 800-486-8655 is the number. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Next hour of the program, how should we pay teachers? Should there be a flat salary? Should there be merit pay? And should it be based on what? We'll talk about that the second hour. It should be a lively conversation. George from Baraboo is our next caller. Hello, George.
Yes, good day. Quick follow-up to your show hour earlier, the digital education, how this has filtered down into the secondary and homeschooling process, and recently got one of these little Nintendo machines, and I'm just amazed at the programs that are available for learning English, math, history. All of these things are there, hand-eye coordination. Eventually, a lot of schooling will be, traditional schooling will just be obsolete, and it's just a wonderful learning tool. So just a follow-up, that digital education as it filters on down into lower education areas. The second thing is somebody called in about the patenting and things like that. The university in Wisconsin is just here, I think, next month, giving a whole class in how to do that and how to work with that on campus. And also, my best friend went through this process and worked with the university, and they contacted evidently, down in Whitewater, in their business school there, they have the students do the search to see if what you're suggesting is already out there. And it's a great tool if you're looking to do this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much
okay.
for your service. But
thank
the
you.
Digital education is just everywhere. So thank you.
Thank you, George, for the call. Beth from Jefferson. Hi.
Hi. I have an idea for a show about how people right here in Wisconsin are applying sustainable principles to their own lives. And I have a guest to recommend. He's a Jefferson County native. His name's Greg David. And he sits on our county board of supervisors. He's an organic farmer, and he's also an inventor, scientist, and kind of has a great breadth of knowledge of how to not just talk about going green, not just talk about energy descent and all those things that we kind of all think should be happening, but actually making them happen.
Okay. And he's on the board of supervisors for Jefferson
County, yep.
Okay.
So I just think he's funny, he's real, and it'd be a good show.
Great. Thank you, Beth.
Bring it home.
Good. Okay. Thanks so much for your call.
Sure. Thanks. Bye.
Open line is what we have going here on the Ideas Network. Anne from Madison. Hi.
Hi. I had a couple of ideas. One is, as you may know but may not, Americans for Prosperity, which had a guest on an earlier program this week, not on yours, is funded in large part by the Bradley Foundation, which is trying to do everything possible to defund public education. They've given more than $100,000 to Americans for Prosperity and Freedom Works, which organized these earlier tea parties, and are organizing the, I call them brown shirt tactics of, disrupting meetings with members of Congress right now in the healthcare fight. So I think what the Bradley Foundation is doing might be interesting. They're associated with Kenneth Starr, who did everything possible to get Bill Clinton impeached. And second, I heard in a letter from Senator Feingold a couple of days ago that Social Security benefits are going to be frozen probably for the next 3 years, according to a Congressional Budget Office Consumer Price Index for urban wage earners, and possibly for longer than that. And that is in accordance with President Obama's budget for fiscal year 2010. And it seems to me that, Part B Medicare benefits Medicare benefit charges will be going up for a lot of people, but Social Security will be frozen. And in the meantime, as everybody knows, the American public, without their permission, has doled out several trillion dollars to investment bankers and bankers without any strings attached, so they won't be getting that money back. I think, it's a little bit ironic that the poor are being they're being penalized for bailing out the obscenely rich.
Okay. Thank you, Anne.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for your call. Let's go next to Alan from Thorpe. Hi, Alan.
Hello. Good morning. I wasn't going to call this morning, but after hearing one of your recent callers criticizing some of the factory farms, I had to call. I myself am a small dairy farmer. I farm 40 cows, and I've just started farming in the last 2 years with my wife, but I have been involved with agriculture my whole life. But I feel that often modern agriculture and these so-called factory farms are unjustly criticized by people who don't fully understand modern agriculture and modern food production and what it takes to feed the people of this nation. I think that sometime we should, session could be done on the benefits and the good side to these areas of agriculture that are so often criticized. I realize that, the organic does have a place, and some of these other production methods do have a place, but we need these larger farms in order to produce enough food to feed the nation. There's no way around that fact, and these people that do farm in this method, they do everything possible to farm in a responsible manner, and I think very often they're unjustly criticized, both in the media and by the general public.
Okay. Do you recommend a guest, Alan? Do you know somebody in the field who would be willing to talk about it?
I'm sure the Dairy Business Association would be very willing to provide a guest speaker for you, or give you names of some people who could do it. Also, the university system. I know there's some economics professors who are very knowledgeable on the subject who could help. Would be very good speakers on that topic.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
We go next to Jeff from Appleton. Hi, Jeff.
Hi there. Just to follow up to the other individuals who have talked about the invention process, two suggestions would be Terry Whipple from the Juneau County Economic Development. They have an inventors group down there that is very active with inventors and entrepreneurs. There's also another inventors group that's been around for about 10 years in the Appleton area called the Inventors Network of Wisconsin. Terry would be an excellent speaker. Also, and a guy named Ivan Davis, who I don't have his number, but Terry would have his number available to him. And both those guys would be just spectacular speakers on this subject. Any inventors out there, I would suggest that you go to an inventors meeting, either the Inventors Network of Wisconsin or the Juneau County one, which is, I believe, in Camp Randall area.
Okay. Are you an inventor?
Yes, I am.
What do you invent?
Any number of products, mostly consumer products. The last two were painting-related for the do-it-yourselfer.
Oh, great. Okay, Jeff, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Cindy from Rhinelander. Hi.
Good morning, Catherine.
Hi.
I just want to confirm what another caller called in earlier about having Justin Isherwood on your program. I totally agree. I think it would be worth the while to have him on. He wrote a wonderful book called The Story Chair about these elderly members of his family, each one telling different stories, and they have this chair that they sit on while they tell the stories. It was a wonderful book, very interesting and quite funny. And also, it would be neat to have a show about stories about Halloween later on this autumn, maybe even like haunted houses or ghost towns of Wisconsin.
Okay.
And that's all I have to say. Have a great day.
Thank you, Cindy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for the call. Kurt from Appleton. Hi.
Hi there, Kathleen. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Not bad. First thing I want to say, first time I've ever called, and I just wanted to say that one of us has changed a lot over the years, because when you were on a commercial station in Milwaukee, I never could stand you, and now you and I agree on more and more on things. So one of us has changed over the years, and I'm not sure which one it was.
I don't know.
Anyway, a topic of really big concern to me is the performing arts and what's happening in our schools and so on with the performing arts. My son is heavily involved in both music and theater, and typically they're having hard times putting together productions because in a typical choir, for example, in his choir, they have 60 members, 8 of which are men, and the balance of which are girls. Same thing when they try to put on a play or something like that. They'll get maybe 5 or 6 or 7 boys turning out for the parts, and all the rest are young women. And it's getting very hard to mount that. And what's going to happen is eventually it's going to almost kill the performing arts, because you'll end up having the reverse of what they used to have in England, which was men in drag do productions. You're going to have women dressed up as men to do the productions, because there just simply aren't enough guys.
Hmm.
And I'm not sure who you would even get on to talk about this, but it's one of those things that it's really concerning to me as he goes farther and farther in his career, that I'm seeing fewer and fewer other boys besides him. And I don't know what's causing this. I doubt it's sports, because there's just not that many sports that the boys could be involved in all of those. There's got to be some other reason that young men are no longer interested in performing.
Yeah. So you don't know what else they're doing? Are they sports? Are they doing other kinds of other activities after school?
Well, the only thing I can think of is they're going home and playing video games or something.
Uh-huh.
But it would be something that would be interesting to look into and find out what is causing this. You know, it's obviously great for him in one way, in that he gets a lot of parts. But on the other hand, it's the quality of the rest of the people that are out there is kind of bad, because they don't, you know, the directors don't have a choice of who they can put in and not put in. They basically have to take what they can get.
Right. It's too bad. It's such wonderful training for whatever you do in your life.
That is true. I mean, that's what I was involved in my entire life. My degree is in vocal music, and that's how I met my wife, as a matter of fact. You know, we were both involved in music and met that way. But it's I don't know, it's just distressing to me to see this imbalance. You know, it's wonderful that the young women are involved, but, you know, it's to the point where things have sort of completely tipped the other way. And there's, you know, just no involvement on the part of young men anymore.
Right. Thank you, Kurt.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
Joanne is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Joanne.
Good morning, Catherine. I am wondering if you could have a program on the status of puppy mill legislation here in the state of Wisconsin. One of the things is, a lot of us who are dedicated to saving animals from humane shelters, a lot of these animals come from puppy mills. We just had a huge one down here in Milwaukee not too long ago where they closed one. But what I understand is there's stronger legislation in places like Pennsylvania, which had a huge problem in this area. And they have started really tightening regulation on these people. However, those people have moved a lot of their operations to states that are unregulated, and Wisconsin is one of them. So I'm wondering if anything has been really going through our state legislature that would control some of the problems that they have with the puppy mills.
Okay, Joanne.
Okay.
On a related topic, it's really not related, but I don't know. Rhonda was showing me this picture yesterday, but then you had to wonder, how did they know the dog was this old? Did you see the picture on the internet yesterday of the world's oldest dog, who is 26 or 28 years old, 182 years in human life?
It's probably a small dog.
It was a terrier, right?
Yeah. Because they have longer lives than the larger dogs, but it has concerned me a great deal. And one of the things is, of course, in an emergency, people go out and adopt these animals. They often come very sick. You have to commit to some heavy-duty vet bills because these animals have been just horribly mistreated. And but you can't keep doing that. You can't keep going to the same well. And I think the Michael Vick case would point out that there are people that are very much concerned with the welfare of animals. It has to do with our humanity.
Sure.
And I would like to hear something on that.
Okay. Thanks, Joanne.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. We go next to Joel from Montello. Hi, Joel.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
I have a couple really good ideas that I would love to see. One is a discussion about the Mankind Project. It's a men's personal growth network. I think in this day and age, to have more men with a vision and with a mission could really help out this planet a lot. There's a strong representation in Madison and Wisconsin and around the world, so it's truly a global organization. Another more local idea that could help the world a lot, too, is gasification. I don't know if anybody has referred that yet today, but Greg David from Watertown is getting to be a master in that, and it's about taking wood chips and sawdust and getting the most highly efficient return in the form of heat or electricity out of them. I'm not sure if you've heard of that, but it's same process that the Germans used to use in World War II until petroleum became cheap and inexpensive, but now it's not so much anymore. So gasification could really go a long way to solving a lot of our financial dilemmas that we're facing.
Mm-hmm.
And in that same note, Alcohol Can Be a Gas by David Bloom. I'm not sure if you've heard of him, but he's been promoting this work for about 10 years now. We recently had a meeting with Senator Feingold to move this project forward. It's a way that small, independent Wisconsin farmers can help supply our region with a petroleum substitute by growing our alcohol here instead of importing it from overseas someplace.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Joel, very much for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Open line is what's happening for the month of August. Here's our number, 800-486-8655. Or you can send emails, too. And that's talk at WPR.org. Or you can send emails to Rhonda and me. Our emails are Dunkay or Fanning, and the ending is the same in both instances, at WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The second hour of our program today, we talk about how we compensate teachers. Our guest will be Jim Carlson, who is the founder and president of the Education Compensation Institute. It is working on education employee compensation. He's also bargained several locally implemented alternative compensation systems for teachers. So that's coming up the second hour of our show. Two more of your phone calls for this open line. We go next to Lucius from Milwaukee. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right, how are you?
I'm interested in a show on coats of arms, old coats of arms, antique, from antiquity, and the depth of their meanings.
Okay.
And plus resources for people who want to get in looking at that further.
Do you know who does this kind of thing?
No, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Lucius, thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for the call. Let's go next to Patricia from Shell Lake. Hi, Patricia.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling about the fire-safe cigarettes. Even though I know there's a lot of anti-smokers out there, I think people should be aware, if your parents or grandparents or anyone that smokes in your life, the fire-safe cigarettes, the government kind of sneaked in and has never really proclaimed this new drug that they've added to the paper. And it's ethylene vinyl acetate. And it's affecting a great deal of smokers very adversely, and it's not been tested. And if you want to talk about health care, I think there's going to be even higher health care problems. So if you have a loved one that is smoking cigarettes and the package is marked FSC by the UPC code, I think they're endangering their life even more.
I haven't even heard of such a thing.
I know, see? They've hidden it so well. The cigarette companies and everything else. It's supposed to be nationwide. It's been going state by state.
This is a new thing? Fire-safe cigarettes? I mean, I've never heard of that.
Yep. See, you never heard of it. They put bands around the paper, so it's to prevent fires.
Uh-huh.
And when it hits a band, the ash automatically falls off.
Uh-huh.
And you have to really puff on it hard to get it to start again. And there's about 5-6 bands, I believe, in a cigarette. And these bands are made out of the ethylene vinyl acetate, and it's to prevent house fires and fires. But actually, it's been burning more people than helping. But see, nothing has ever been done. You could go to, if you Google fire-safe cigarettes, there's a ton of stuff out there. Hubpages.com has got a very good summary of it.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's another reason to get rid of all those things, huh? Catherine from Madison. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Have you heard of the Harlem Children's Zone?
I have, yes.
Well, do you know that Obama's going to be bringing that program called a Promise Neighborhood Program to 20 cities in the United States, and I think we need to start campaigning that Milwaukee and Madison be among those cities.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and like now's the time to do it because they're just starting to talk about it. 97% of his kids in high school are at or above grade level. 100% of the kindergartners are. It starts when the mothers are pregnant. They have something called baby college. If people go to www.hcz.org, they can read about it. There's a best-selling book. And it's just the most, I mean, it beats Head Start out, it beats all these other programs because it starts before they're even born and it educates the parents and it goes on through and supports them.
When is the president expanding this?
Well, I've just recently read about it. It doesn't say exactly when he's extending it. Let's see what he says. President Obama, where it is. To reproduce the model, click here for link to articles, Sunday, August 2nd in the Washington Post.
Oh.
So I'm just pulling up the article now, and it says, it doesn't say when, let's see, starting point, Canada, the man's name is Canada, Jeffrey Canada,
okay.
The one who wrote the book and the one who started the model, because he said he was helping a few kids, maybe, you know, a few hundred, he wanted to help thousands, he wanted to bring, like, a different cultural perspective and educate the parents. You know, a big part of it was that parents who are single parents who are not educated are not talking to the kids, not reading to them. And it's actually from the time you're an infant till 3 years old, if you hear 200,000 words, that's what makes the difference later on. It's that very foundation. So that's why he started at the very bottom, you know, at the very bottom, at the very beginning.
Right.
So I really think we need to educate ourselves about this and start talking to our senators and representatives and get our cities, you know, in it, because I'm sure they'll do something in the Midwest. And we're just the right size city, Milwaukee and Madison.
Yeah.
We're not too big.
You're right.
I mean, I doubt that they'll do L.A., but who knows? But I would assume they'd want some mid-sized cities.
Sure. Well, what a great idea, Catherine. Thank you.
So
we'll carry on.
Yeah, I hope that becomes a program so we can let more people know about it so we can start a grassroots movement and getting it here.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Colleen next. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. Can barely hear you, Colleen.
You can barely hear me?
There you go. That's better.
Oh, okay. I love it when we hear just sort of the other side of the story, something that's not always a part of the system or the traditional. And have you heard of Dr. Noah McKay?
No.
He's an MD, and he had a fabulous experience as a physician. He had a heart attack, and it was a viral base. And he tells the story in a book called Wellness at Warp Speed. And he was to die. That was the only outcome of this. And he began learning about the natural healing of the body. And the journey that took him on is phenomenal. And he's a delightful, warm, kind man when he speaks. And I think it would be just very uplifting to listen to him and the power of his story.
What's the name of the book, Colleen? I didn't hear all of it.
It is called Wellness at Warp Speed.
Warp Seed?
No, warp as in W-A-R-P.
Seed.
No, P as in Peter. W-A-R-P as in Peter.
No. And what? Warp what?
Oh, speed. S-P-E-E-D.
Thank you.
Rap.
Okay. All right. I got it finally. Okay, Kelly.
All right.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Uh-huh. Bye. We go next to Tom from Madison. Hi, Tom.
Well, good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
I thought a real timely topic now is sustainability, you know, for businesses and so forth that are looking at new regulations and so forth about energy efficiency and environmentalism and so forth. And speaker I had in mind or a guest that I had in mind would be Dr. Chris Laszlo, L-A-S-Z-L-O.
Okay.
He wrote a book called Sustainable Value, and basically it's about sustainability for profit, and how businesses can view it as an opportunity rather than a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he would make a great guest. I know that he is speaking at a conference in Madison, actually, coming up pretty soon, I believe, like the second week of September, over at the Fluno Center, there's a local firm that's putting it on and in conjunction with the, University of Wisconsin Business School.
Okay.
So I thought that might be a good topic for you.
All right, Tom. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Oh, you bet. Bye-bye.
We go to Tim from Evansville. Hi, Tim.
Hello, this is Tim. I just wanted to ask if you could find anybody that would speak to the topic of being able to eat healthy for low budget or low income. One of the things I've been trying to do is work with a nutritionist and become more aware of looking at labels and eating out of the produce section. And I've been finding my dollar stretches much much less. And, you know, it's just so easy to buy a box of mac and cheese, you know, on the cheap. And when you're trying to look at produce, it seems like it's just so expensive. And there's got to be ways of affordably eating healthier. And, you know, I know a lot of people like diabetics would probably be able to, you know, get some insight from somebody that could speak knowledgeably on that topic.
Okay. Have you gone to farmers markets this summer, Tim?
I've gone to the farmers markets a couple times in the Madison area, and they actually have a really nice one. But I also know that, you know, that isn't always easy for everyone.
Right.
But if you have anybody that could you could find that could speak to that topic.
Yeah, it's a good topic. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Evangeline from Hudson. Hi.
Hello, Kathleen. Thank you for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if you've had on Taco Underhill. He wrote Why We Buy.
No.
My niece told me about the book. He was asked to do a study on about why people go into a store and how many that go into the store actually buy something.
Hmm.
And contrary to what many people believe, even though we're a consumer-driven nation, only 47% of the people that go into a store actually buy something in that store.
Hmm.
And the other thing I wanted to bring up was you had a guest on a couple of years back, MJ Ryan, and I don't know if it was an article she wrote or a book. It said Giving Thanks. She was the founder of Random Acts of Kindness.
Oh.
It was Giving Thanks, the Gifts of Gratitude.
Hmm.
And I think maybe we need to be grateful again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good suggestions. Thank you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Bye. Our number, we have a couple minutes left, open line. And in case you can't get through, here's a number, 800-486-8655. Our email address is for future consideration when an idea that is splendid pops into your head and you want to let us know. You can write us. It's dunk@wpr.org or Rhonda's is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at wpr.org. Also, a reminder, our healthcare forum is taking place at Fratert Hospital, which is based here in Milwaukee, September 16 in the new Cancer Center. And it is free, but we want to take reservations for this, for the orderly run of the hospital, and also so that we don't have too many people because we're in a hospital setting. So if you'd like to attend, we're going to broadcast our whole show from 9 to 11. We'll have a variety of people with very different opinions about healthcare. We will talk with people who don't have healthcare. It's nurses and doctors and government people. So it should be a most informative day. Call Katie Madsen to say you'd like to be a part of it. 414-227-2047. 414-227-2047. Let's go to Marie from Appleton next. Hi, Marie.
Yes, school subject, test anxiety. How to help children get over it and give them confidence.
Okay. Do you have any suggestions?
No.
You'd like to know.
Well, I mean, I have a suggestion or two. I thought you meant for the expert.
No. How to get over test anxiety.
Oh, just show them it's a game.
A game?
All yes, right. It's a game.
Huh.
And some of the, read the whole test through before you do any answers, and maybe one of your answers is in two from number four. That'd be my suggestion.
Okay. Thank you, Marie.
Bye.
Uh-huh. Bye. Mindy from Richland Center is next. I'm running close on time here. Hi, Mindy.
Hi. Just wanted to suggest, a fellow just called about trying to eat healthier, but the expense of it. Definitely elaborate on the farmer's market and local families that sell CSA out of their home. But also growing your own garden. You can do a lot in a small space and, you know, neighbors petitioning to have green space around apartment buildings and that sort of thing. You know, find out what your options are, but you know, we can grow a lot of it ourselves if you're looking for fresh produce.
Mm-hmm. You have a good garden this year?
Yeah, I'm actually a member of a farmers market in Richland Center, and it's been a fantastic year. I've got tomatoes coming out my ears finally this week. They finally ripened, so it's been a great year, and like I said, there's just a lot you can do in a small amount of space if it's just, you know, yourself and a couple other people eating off it.
So. Yeah, right. Okay, thank you.
Yep, no problem.
Thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. Our number, I can't give you the number. We're done for now. But we'll have another open line in the month of September. In the meantime, send us emails if you have suggestions for programs. If you are reading a terrific book, usually they're nonfiction that we talk about here. Or if you come up with, I know we've done a lot of shows on healthcare, but you're hungry for them, and it's a huge issue in our country. So if you hear somebody talk about it that you think would be good for us, or if you couldn't think of the name of that book you wanted to recommend, and now you remember after the show, send us an email. It's dunkay@wpr.org, fanning@wpr.org. Thanks to Rob Schroeder for producing the program, answering your many phone calls, and thanks for all of those calls, everybody. We have news coming up in just a moment from National Public Radio, and then we'll talk about the teaching profession. So stay with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.